Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. We're discussing rock movies and boobs at the same time, and thinking of San Andreas actually. But that's where we got that line from. Joining me to discuss the week's Apple news, what a panel. It's the same as last week, but what a panel. James, how the devil are you?
I'm still in the UK and it's sunny. Oh my God, I think it reached 30 degrees today. Has been amazing.
It's been hot today, yeah. It's really stuffing hot in here, and actually it's probably nearly 25, 30 degrees in the office. I've got three windows open, fan running, and the back door open. I can't get any air through the place, and if there's noises outside, tough. I'm not closing anything. Now, talk us through the finer points of gearboxes, mate.
Don't buy a Peugeot 3008, I think is the easy answer there. It's typical. Obviously, you know, I plan to be back in France this week, and the Peugeot decided the aircon stopped working, so that was definitely going to need to be fixed. And then suddenly the gearbox decided to take a nosedive. So £1,800 quote, and it's really weird. You know, you Google problems of your car, and they say never do it. And the first one I saw was £1,800, and lo and behold, it was. Money. So there you go. Google ain't wrong, is it?
Bad luck, mate.
Well,
have you heard from Greeny this week?
No. Since I dropped him off at the pub this time last week, he's still comatose, head down the sofa somewhere, probably.
I thought he was supposed to be coming on here, and I thought he got a gig at the White Hart tonight.
Oh, well, I'm in Ironbridge tonight. I'm meeting some friends for a bit of a drink, so I might pass on by and see if he's tickling the ivories, as it were.
Maybe he's cacking himself.
What have you done to him? He's only hiding from you. What have you said?
I don't know. I didn't say a word. Next to James, it's Adam. How you doing, bud?
I'm hanging in there. Not quite as hot here. The pool is running. If you guys want to pop over,
mate, take a photo. Take a photo.
Is your pool really kind of cool and lovely to have? Is it a beautiful thing, or does it get really hot in there and it's not fun?
No, it's. I mean, we keep it at a nice temperature that's enough to be cool but not freezing. And
so it's heated, it's not heated just by the sun, which is what I was thinking.
No, I have I have solar heating on the roof. So
nice.
Solar heated.
Have you been well?
I'm doing all right. Yeah. Things are going okay. We're getting ready for vacation soon. The annual camping trip, which didn't coincide with Worldwide Developer Conference anymore because we moved it. So
yeah. Good. All right.
Not a lot happening. Good. Doing my exercise, closing my rings, all that stuff.
Lovely. Lovely. Next
week,
finally, Patrice. I can't get rid of all the bloody icons on your page. I don't know why, but they just won't go. No matter. Oh, it's frigging Skype, and it's the
Skype is trying to tell you
the
something.
Tech shit that haunts BTS.
It's because you love him. You've got the heart up there for him.
That's why.
And it's beating. Look, it is a beating heart.
Oh, it is. Look at it.
Yeah, that's true. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, no. How you been, man?
Oh, pretty good, actually.
Have you been traveling this week?
No, I was...
That was what you thought?
I was actually, for once, I was actually just at home.
Not on purpose. He wasn't traveling.
No.
He ended up in Nevada, but that was Siri.
Yeah, almost.
What, you went a whole state over?
I don't think Nevada's even next to. I don't know. I bad geography.
Yeah, no.
Don't listen to me.
No, Nevada is one of our neighboring states, so that would actually work.
Right.
It's a bit of a drive, but it would work.
Well, I heard you went on a bit of a drive.
No,
the rumor says.
It's just Siri, not Siri, Maps is broken on iOS 12, at least when you do CarPlay right now. So it just doesn't know where you are. It's like, meh.
It is beta, so.
Yeah,
he pointed that out.
I mean, it's like,
no angry letters or emails. I'm just joking with him.
We're not dogpiling. It's all right.
That's fine.
Right, just start off today. I've got a bit of a sad news, really. I wanted to take the opportunity to thank UK2 for all the support they've given us over the last 10 years, nearly 10 years. It's been amazing. We couldn't have got this far without them. So thanks to them. But I'm afraid a decision has been made that due to return on investment, which I've got to say I can't believe, because we did a quick chat up in the chat room today, in the Slack room rather, and we hit 2K with just 8 people. So I can't believe that, that there is an issue. But either way, they've decided to pull the plug on us. So we're losing our servers at the end of the next month. And the main server is still going on for a bit longer, but then the live server's going. So if anyone knows anyone wants to sponsor a podcast with some servers, that'd be awesome. Thanks very much. Because after that, we're dead in the water. So thanks to UK2. It's been great that you've looked after us ever so much. It's been lovely. But I'm afraid it's all over. We'll manage. We'll get there. There'll be some kind soul out there who'll dive in and save BTN. I know it. It's going to happen. Don't worry. And also we've had some reviews. Now, we haven't had reviews for a long, long time. So thanks to Neil, who gave us a review. I think his name's Neil, Mr. Gove. And not Gove as in Michael Gove. But get some reviews in for us, or replenish your reviews so we can have some to read out over the next few weeks. We read them all, good or bad, don't worry about it. Neil's given us a review for the big show. He said in one word, it's brilliant, great balance of tech and good entertainment. And he's also given us one for the Mac show as well. He said, a must listen for anyone interested in Apple. I've listened for years and honestly feel like this is the best Mac podcast going around. If I could rate it, wow, then I would.
That's lovely, isn't it?
Cheers, dude. We've had a shit week, so that's nice to hear that. But it is our 10th anniversary. It literally is our 10th anniversary next week on Friday, the 6th of July. That is the day that we first posted Bagel Tech News 10 years ago. And oh God, that was a bag of shit. Listen, I've still got it and I might post it on Thursday just for the hell of it.
But oh my God.
Yeah, I might post it just for the hell of it. But yeah, that was our first day. That was the first thing.
Have you heard the first MacCast? It can't be worse than that.
Really? Was that bad?
Oh yeah.
But it's our 10th anniversary now then. We are having a bash next week. Of course, it starts on the 6th. If you'd like to come, you can still get tickets. You can still come along. Curry on the night of the 6th, and then the bash on the 7th, and then breakfast and barbecue at my place on the 8th, if you can hang around during, and watch. We'll watch the British Grand Prix together, because that'll be on. All the fun, all the usual antics, and loads of great people kicking around. We've got quite a few coming, same as last year, really. So it should be amazing. But it's the 10th anniversary bash. You will never get another chance to come to the 10th anniversary bash because this is going to be the only one. And I'm hoping we've got a lady named Vic who lives in our local, the next village along from us. And she's renowned for her cakes. And I think she's going to be making us a big BTN cake from the logo, which we'll all have. And we'll have loads and loads of pictures and that kind of stuff. So get your tickets in, get yourself down, come to the bash. You will not regret it. It is tons of fun. We'll see you there next week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 6th, 7th, and 8th. And enjoy. You're wonderful. We're having a really good time. Right, the week in Apple. All the shiz that's gone on. I was gobsmacked by this story, I have to say. And it's decided to freeze. Friggin' 8 technology. What is it?
Oh, there you go. We're back.
Hey.
What is it with technology? I hate technology.
We're back.
Wirecast is awesome. We love it. We couldn't do the show without it, but I've frozen it somehow. Does that work? Hang on. Let's start again. Right. The Apple headphone jack adapter from Lightning to Analog is the 19th biggest selling item in Best Buy.
What the hell?
Exactly.
Why?
That must
it's
be
because
people lose them all the time. Or do I need just a crap?
Why do you need it?
Well, lots of people do. I think we're in.
Who's using them? I've got one. They can have it.
Well, you say that, Adam, but I think we're in danger of forgetting the fact that that we aren't the typical group.
And that's true.
And there's a lot of people who've come from the Samsung Android world who aren't interested in buying AirPods and or haven't got Bluetooth. And I've got to say, in the last few weeks, I've done the train a few times. There's a lot of people running around with wires, mate.
You can get Bluetooth headphones for $7.
I'm not saying you. Oh, okay. All right. Don't have a go. Don't shoot the messenger, man.
Cheaper than the adapter.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's people that like their over ear, you know, their classic earphones and that kind of stuff. Or they've got reference earphones, or they've got their beats, which are you know, a bit loud, well, a bit bassy, but there yep. you go. Or their monsters and that kind of stuff. And it's just, you know, they just refuse to go away from it because they think they get better sound quality out of it. And they probably do a little bit. But they don't want Bluetooth stuff.
And the Bluetooth, the cheap Bluetooth stuff sucks.
The cheap right? Bluetooth stuff, yeah, yeah.
Because it's got cruddy Bluetooth and then you lose the connection all the time and it's annoying. Mm.
But this thing is the 19th best-selling product.
It is unbelievable. But as I say, it's that thing. It's people. It is so small that people do lose it. And obviously, you know, I guarantee you, you know, there'll be lots of people put their hands up and say they bought an extra one. They really have. I've got two. I've got different bags. So
well,
and the price point is cheap, isn't it? It's probably the cheapest Apple accessory you can buy, probably.
If you still wire in your car, and I'm sure there's cases too where people are having multiples because they just don't want to deal with having to move one of them around. They're cheap enough that you would just buy, you know, if you needed three for three different locations, you just buy three.
Yeah. I don't know. One for your Mac, one for your car, one for, I don't know, your headphones.
Well, I mean, so when I first got my iPhone, And they were going to get rid of and they got rid of the iPhone 7 and they got rid of the audio jack. I bought seven of them because I just was going to scatter them around and I can use them. I have no idea where any of them are. Because
and how many times did you use them?
Oh, I used them. No, I definitely used them because I had a beautiful set of Bose in earphones that had the. Do you remember the cups that I've got that I go in my ear for right, the sound occlusion? Yeah. I had those in there and they were absolutely brilliant. So I was a devotee of the wired one. And then I got the AirPods and the AirPods fitted into the cups as well. And I have no idea where they are now. So what's going on?
I know. Who's that?
Doc's
trying to get in on Skype.
I hope he's on Skype. I'm assuming he's on Discord.
We just lost Doc trying to get in on Skype. So.
Or maybe he's on Hangouts. I don't know.
Yeah, or something. He's definitely somewhere where we aren't.
Oh, God. This, what a show. It's I'm funny. Going home. I want a beer.
Somebody in the Slack room sent me a playlist. You know, we're talking about testing sort of HomePod speakers and things like that. And somebody in the Slack room sent me a playlist, or maybe it's Twitter. And, oh my God, it's absolutely fabulous. Obviously, it's the songs which are using left and right speaker really, really well. But I'm trying to find his name. But it's that good. I sent it to my friend who works at Apple, and he's been using it as a demo and story, so they're absolutely brilliant. It's a song for lots of different occasions. But isn't it great that, you know, you can share an Apple playlist like that when you find something that good? I'll try and see if I can find him.
Well, and now you can listen to it on the web if you want to plug in your credentials because Apple made that new API.
Oh, wow, really?
Have you noticed if, like, I think you sent that playlist. Like, if you click that playlist, it will load up the web page like it normally does, and then the web page will ask you if you want to log in. And if you log in right there and you have an Apple Music account, you can play it right on the web page.
Oh, right. Okay. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's I found his name, Chris T. Smith. It was 7 days ago. He said, I've created this brilliant playlist that he uses to test things with, and you're more happy to use it. So Chris T. Smith.
He was an audio engineer, and he uses it for setting up, for testing his setup when he's doing, I think he does events, right? Didn't he say in there? Like live events, concerts and stuff like that. And it's the playlist he uses to check that he's got the equipment set up, right?
Yeah, well, he's correct. He's a production engineer. On event production, Instagram BTs. So anyway, shout out to him because it's a cracking playlist. And if anybody wants it, then just, I don't know, ask me and I'll happily send it on to you.
I think I did add Twitter. That. I haven't listened to it yet.
It's really good, Adam. It's really good.
But there's, I only have, like I said, I'm defective. I only have a single HomePod.
Should we even be talking to you? Seriously.
Oh, fuck. Doc, don't come on there. Come on, 4.
No, I'm on 4, right?
I've got a turntable in my face.
Let's keep the Yanks together.
Keep the Yanks together.
Turntable on James Rickard's face.
Wake up, wake up, wake up.
Have I added him or what? I just can't. I'm going to cut all of
this. This is entertainment right here.
Oh, is it? It's just, oh, here he is.
And you wonder why UK2.
Here he is. Yeah, no, okay, fair point.
He's got his England top on. Good lad. Look at that. He was a big shit show yesterday.
3 lines on his shirt.
Well done, Doc.
Are you here, Doc, or what?
Yeah. What do you mean shit show? That was a called a practice game for the lads that needed a run out.
Yeah, so I know.
Why would you risk injuring Lingard, who's going to be the king of the tournament?
Who?
No, you're right. He's right. He knows his football.
I don't know anything about football. I'm proud.
Don't say who, rugby man.
I don't know. I don't know anyone anyone about football, kickball. Deep Pan says, what are the other 18 products? good
yeah,
point.
What is the number one product sold at a Best Buy?
Oh, DVDs of Carousel, the movie. That musical.
Hopes and Dreams.
Doc, how have you been, man? How's the flood?
It's a Chromecast.
Oh, God. It's still irritating. My house is wrecked. You guys want to see something? I'm not going to see because I don't even have my computer. Look.
All right. Show us around.
I'm still in construction mode.
Oh, man. What happened?
Oh, look at that.
What happened?
You got flooded.
Flooded out.
Yeah, these dudes were fixing the master AC pipe and shot about 1,800 liters of water into my house. Flooded all the way down to the ground floor. I live up on like 16th.
So you're going to get the money back from them, right?
Nope.
Why?
Buildings deductible is like 25 grand. The damage is like 22 grand.
Why?
No, they've been negligent.
Yeah, the point is you're not paying for it, right, Doc?
Right now I am, unless I wanted to live outside. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're going to get that back.
Legal system. Yeah, hopefully, I mean, it's going to require some arguing and fighting, but yeah, this is our lovely...
A clearer cut case of negligence I've never heard. just pay up or else.
Anybody doing that kind of contract work better have insurance, otherwise somebody didn't vet the vendor, right?
And then you get the person that didn't vet the vendor, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's where the switch is right now, because the building required us to change a part that didn't need requiring, and the AC guy says it wasn't them, they said the builder forgot to turn off the right water, so they turned off the pee and drink water and not the AC water.
No. Didn't do it.
They gotta fight it out.
Yeah. Either way.
Yuck.
It might take 5 years, but yeah.
All right.
You'll get there.
This has been This Day in Litigation. Back to the Mac news.
Just finished why the lightning to ear adapter is analog adapter is still the 18th best selling product at Best Buy. It was a fun start to the show. Apple.
That's all the further we've got.
18 minutes that took as well. 18 minutes for the 18th best-selling product. There we go. Samsung and Apple settle long-running design dispute. I think this is friggin' hilarious. So they've settled a dispute between two completely obsolete phones. There we go.
Yeah.
Apple iPhone 3GS and the Galaxy S i9, which looks like an absolute dirtbag phone. I can't believe that at one point maybe I thought that was attractive. I don't think I did, but...
You probably did, because it was just the iPhone.
Square button versus round button. No, the iPhone still looks cool. I've still got my 3GS. It sat, actually, on my Apple Hi-Fi.
The 3GS is one of those nice phones that fitted beautifully in your hands.
It's the only, actually, it's got no choice but to sit on the Apple Hi-Fi because it's the only thing that I've got that's got the old connector on, the 30-pin.
30-pin.
Yeah. So I have no choice. But on the back of that, Apple is going to be scuppered by Galaxy because they're going to release the Note 9 a month before Apple is expected to give out the new iPhones. Do you think Apple are quivering, boys?
No. Samsung does that.
The Note has its own audience. It always has done. Anybody uses a Note and carries such a big device, you know, they will carry on to buy that. They will carry on and keep buying that product.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Note users are as big a cult as iPhone users, I would say. I would almost argue.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Especially at this point, I mean, after the whole Note 7 debacle.
Really? So they have to be loyal, otherwise they're in trouble anyway.
Yeah.
But I mean, you say that the are they loyal because of the size, James? Mm-hmm. They like the bigger screen
and the pencil. Remember, it comes with the stylus. So a lot of people still like that stylus, which is what the draw is for many people. They like being able to just to jot down. And it's something that I thought Apple would actually follow in the end, having a stylus for the iPhone, because it seemed to be something that everybody liked at the time. And anybody who's got one of those devices will happily show you how it works as well. And they're all eager to show you how it is to draw and even cut around a photograph and move it with the stylus. It's all very quick and easy.
In a similar way to the fact that they're keen to tell you about their psoriasis when you're in the breakfast queue with them. And scratch
a lot. Like, see you later.
to quote the late Steve Jobs, yuck.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a stylus just because he dissed it. I did see. Have you seen the new BlackBerry keyboard one? BlackBerry is still making a phone with an external keyboard. Their new version has a big screen with an external keyboard on the bottom.
Not well, external, flip phones are coming back. Haven't you heard, Ewan?
Sorry,
flip phones are on the way back.
Oh
so.
God, Carrie Ellison will be over the moon.
I think BlackBerry simply doesn't have any other choice because there are. I mean, in the rest of the smartphone market, they're obsolete. They can't compete. They tried. So they know their user base, and that's the user base that liked the keyboard and wanted to have it back.
Yep.
I think they really don't have any other choice.
Is this the key two? I'm trying to load it up right now.
Yeah, that's it, the key two.
Here's the thing. We're to the point where smartphones are all boring. And everybody's trying to figure out how to not make them boring, but they're done. We've reached the pinnacle.
They have reached almost every consumer on the planet at this point.
I mean, again, if you think of the rumors of the new iPhone, A, it's going to be bigger, and now it's going to have three cameras. I mean, you know, some would argue that the average person doesn't need more than two, to be fair. But, you know, the true geek will love three cameras because it means we can do more stuff in VR and things like that. So we are kind of leaving what we call what my mother-in-law would buy. I just want a smartphone that I can use WhatsApp on and Facebook Messenger and things like that.
A Doro
and almost, it's diversing into geekiness again. We're going back to the geek side of wanting to upgrade.
Everybody's predicting Apple's new lower cost 6.1 inch LCD phone that's being rumored is going to be their top seller. They're going to sell a metric ton load of those to people exactly like that who want to upgrade. It's got a single camera. It's, you know, a lower price point, but it's going to have the new processors. It'll be faster and all that other stuff. But all that extra stuff that nerds and tech guys like us care about, a lot of people just don't care about, you know, they're ready to upgrade their, you know, iPhone 5s and 5s, and that's going to be the perfect thing for them.
I'm looking at this key to design now, and it's absolutely, there's nothing wrong with that design at all, actually. I mean, this is a physical keyboard, but from what I can see, it's got curved glass. It's got your two cameras on the back, one US micro USB, two speakers on the bottom. It's very much iPhone-like, but with a actual keyboard. So there's actually nothing wrong with the design. I actually think it's quite pleasant.
Doc, you had something to say?
Yeah, I think we're sort of at the point with phones where we are with cars, right? Like, it got to the point where everyone basically has one, so it's almost a utility device. And there are some people who will go out and buy a Honda Fit. I don't know what they call that in the UK, but it's basically your first Honda you could possibly buy. And then there will always be the people that want to go out and buy, you know, the Porsche or, you know, the Mercedes or whatever. So because now we're at the point where everyone has one, and it literally will come down to specialization and the things that a particular person likes or whatever. The hard part is as we start to get into that specialization, it might remain harder for companies like Apple and Samsung to remain dominant because people will start to look for extremely niche features. My buddy is, I don't know if he got it yet or it's coming soon. He's getting a Red phone. And I mean Red as in the camera company. And at first, dude, that's just dumb. Like, why the hell would you, why would you spend so much on the Red phone? But in the same token, as a professional shooter, it has things in it designed specifically for directors of photography, cameramen.
It's just license gimmick.
No doubt. See, but you feel that way because that wouldn't pop your socks. But as a, someone who has a couple of Reds, it became tempting. You know what I mean? Because it had things that will aid with the new Snapdragon.
We're getting to the point.
I mean, that, to Doc's point, that is how I mean, market segments work. At first, when the whatever the product is innovative and new, there are so many obvious features and obvious things to do for the mass market that there is very little specialization because there is, I mean, as I said, the obvious things have to be done. But once you reach maturity and once you reach, I mean, what the smartphones have done, once you reach basically every person in the world, you have to start specializing because there's nowhere else to grow. You have to, if you want to differentiate on a purely on a feature basis, which a lot of manufacturers are doing, that's the only choice you have. It, nothing else will work because, I mean, why would you buy one glass rectangle versus the other if they are feature-wise 100% identical? And the only difference...
You know what would make me buy an Android phone real quick without even thinking about it? I mean, you probably wouldn't even look at the specs, but if somebody came out with a high-end, almost, you know, like, say, Hublot-esque Manchester United Android phone, frick, I'd buy one. I'm not even joking. I'm dead serious. Yeah. I'd buy one. Because that's where my affinities lie, you know? Yeah. So right now, you couldn't make me own an Android phone. But if someone came out, say, Galaxy 10 with, you know, this very custom menu feature with, you know, signatures of all the boys on the back, I'd buy one.
Have you bought the Hublot Man United watch then?
Huh?
Have you bought the Hublot Man United watch then? No, you haven't. So that shit doesn't work with you.
Yeah. Well, because that's $140,000, you and seriously, that's
not
useful.
Yeah,
but that's, we are, I mean, the $100 one I got from China is beautiful.
Sorry, that's the other area. I mean, if you don't want to compete on the feature basis, then you need like something like brand loyalty, which is what Apple is, I think, trying to do. And I mean, what Doc just said, he is loyal to the Manchester brand, and that's the other area where you can like keep people excited about your product.
Have you ever been to Old Trafford, Doc?
No, because as soon as I'm there, when I have my ticket planned to go there, I'm first of all staying at your house. Second of all, I'm gonna get on a train early in the morning and go to the game and then come back drunk and then sleep on your floor.
Well, no, it's all right. If you've never been to Old Trafford, mate, you're like virtually every other Manchester United fan.
They're the biggest club in the world and most people can't get there. There's nothing funny about that. That's a true statement.
No, it's the piss take that everyone gives you. For those of you that are interested, that's what a BlackBerry Key 2 looks like. And I got to say, I used to love my BlackBerry Key. I say this all the time, but I used to love my BlackBerry keyboard. So I don't like that keyboard. That looks horrible.
Yeah, it does.
We can keep that. If they had the rounded buttons like they used to have on the curve, I might be tempted. I might keep it for an email phone only. That would be cool.
I just like to say that if you look at the tech beat at the moment, it's after this big whole, you know, bevel-less, the smallest bevel of phone will win. How do we get rid of this notch, etc.? And to be honest with you, I think it's like a fruitless game of something. I just baffled by it, the fact that we keep being told that having a notch is the worst thing ever. I mean, I've just put a link to the new Oppo Find X, and this is a kind of one of the phones that actually the whole sort of chassis lifts up to reveal a camera, and then it drops back down again. I've put a link to the into the chat room there, and it's kind of like, are we that bothered by the notch that we want to have like a mechanism that actually moves up and down that possibly could break? Well, yes, it's exactly. A clever innovation, yeah. But are we that bothered?
I thought the same thing when I saw that. Is the notch so bad that we're willing to risk putting a really complicated mechanism into our device to get rid of the notch that's probably going to break at some point? Because it's got a motor. It's got probably a tiny motor. You know,
I would
say the notch isn't so bad, but people have been told that the notch is bad by people who wanted to just flame iPhone owners. So they made it so the point that the notch is bad. And so now there's a whole sect of people that would love to get rid of the notch. And I think if no one ever told you this was bothersome, no one would even think about it.
Everybody else copied that notch.
Well, there's a difference here, because I remember going back, and I'll stand up and I'll say, I said, the notch ain't pretty. I hate the notch. And I don't hate the notch anymore. I actually quite like it. And I like the way that they've utilized it for some of the cell data and that kind of stuff and the battery data on the top. And I think that's pretty innovative. But it ain't pretty. You can't change the fact that it's still fugly.
I have another thing to add to that, and it's still annoying me to this day, because we're here now almost a year after the notch came out. I still have a number of apps, and not just tiny little odd ones, that still haven't adapted for the notch. And it's annoying every time I open up an app and the back menu or whatever is right up there over the corner. And it's like, you haven't adapted your app for this thing. So
it's not even that they haven't adapted the app. They don't even follow the best practices and guidelines Apple has set out, because if they did, that issue wouldn't even exist, because auto layout takes care of most of those issues for you if you do.
Right. So no, I get it.
But says the dude fresh out of WDC, but Patrice is correct. And you and I want to point something out to you.
Oh, here we go. Go on then.
No, a super simple thing. Every one of us sitting on this thing right now, I don't want to put Patrice on blast, but every single one of us has a beautiful lady that none of us should have, that thinks that as ugly as we are, we were worth something. So don't get caught up in the looks, because ain't none of us good looking, but all of us have a lovely lady on the other end that overlooks our ugliness, possibly for our ability to do tech support.
You speak for yourself, you ugly bastard.
I've dropped the half stone.
You crack my screen every day. Thank God it's made out of plastic.
That is true, actually, because the only reason that Sharon keeps me around is for my fact that I'm innovative and useful.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I can do house
repairs. The minute that ends, she's gone.
I love it.
You know what I mean?
I think it has
the ability to do house repairs. I'd be somewhere gone.
I think it has ended. She just hasn't recognized it yet.
This should be new wedding vows. I will promise to be innovative and useful.
I have. We had the tap on our bath when we had it changed. I'm going back 16 years, and the bath the tap wobbles. And Sharon's dad sent up his tap spanner for me to fix it. The tap still wobbles, and I still have the tap spanner. I've had it for 16. I've had his tap spanner for 16 years.
I haven't tightened the tap.
And I'm proud. I'm proud because I didn't offer to fix the tap. She came up with a tap and said, "There you go, fix the tap." I'm not going to fix the tap. I refuse to do it. For 16 years, I refused to fix the frigging tap. Just on principle.
When I come to your house, I'll fix the faucet.
I get that.
Tap. Now, James, you were saying about people do like their big screens, which is why they go for the 9 and all that kind of shiz.
Yeah.
LG, allegedly, and I'll grant you this is a rumor, but LG allegedly is going to supply 2 to 4 million OLED panels to avoid the reliance on Samsung, who Apple have just settled that cutting edge legal dispute with. And the iPhone X Plus is going to be 6.5 inches. Read it in wheat, boys.
Yep.
Well, yep. And that will be about the size of the 8 Plus, because the current 6 is the current 10 is almost the size of the 8. So I'm not bothered. I actually like the bigger.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Is that enough innovation? Sorry, Patrice. Is that enough innovation for a new phone?
It's not, again, going back to that conversation we just had, it's not about innovation. It's about hitting a market that wants a certain feature. And that's exactly what that's about. It's about hitting a market that wants the iPhone X design, but in a large phone. And there's a lot of those people, and Apple realizes it.
I'm not sure if I fit in that group yet, but I might when I touch it. Because right now I'm in love with my screen size. That sounds really bad. Shut up, James. I'm in love with the current screen size because I hate to give Adam all of the credit, but going back down to something that's easily manageable is actually great as long as I was able to keep the screen for my new blindness. But if I could take this and go back to just a little bit bigger and still maintain all of the cool things that the 10 has, I might think about that. And, you know, again, there's a whole bunch of people, self included, again, regardless of what anyone thinks, I don't pretty much care. I have to have whatever the newest one is. And I was thinking that this would be the phone that stopped that for me because I had to pay an extra $150 for it. But in the end of days, $150 is nothing extra compared to what I was paying for the regular one. So, you know, for
years. Well, and the prices are going down.
For a year worth of happiness, it doesn't matter. So there is those that just want to be on the current evolution.
I do like the current screen size on the 10. The ones I've looked at, I do enjoy it. Very good. Instantly.
And I mean, I want to say one thing. We talk about innovation and we talk about it like it's the big jumps, but the small things also matter. I mean, sometimes you have to do like 10 small
things. The ladies.
Oh, Doc.
No words.
Sometimes you have to do 10 small steps to do one big one, and that's fine too. So,
sorry. I like how he has this conversation while we are split screened.
Like it's like you're sharing a bed together.
You go and get a pair of sheets each and just pull them up. You can look like Morecambe and Wise from the 70s. It's not gay. It's just two men in bed together. Bob Beach has chimed in. Our resident.
There's a guy walking behind James.
Yep.
There's a guy walking behind
James. It's my brother-in-law.
Oh, right. Bob Beach has chimed in. He's our resident economist. That's the word. And he's put product differentiation. No, I can't read it. It's no good. Product differentiation increases revenue and profits. To see why, consult any reputable microeconomics text. There you go. And he's right, I suppose. Yeah. Deep has put to think the Hughes A2 will be missing this gold. There we go.
I also like Bob Beach's comment. Vague innuendo. Never mind BC at 80. Now it's before the notch and after the notch.
I love that. Before the notch. Yeah.
Why would you not want to sponsor a podcast like this with vague innuendo, references to sausages and penis length whenever 6.5 comes up?
Awesome host in the lilac shirt.
This is differentiation and revenue profit should therefore flow according to Bob. We defy that. I've just realized as well, fellas, Siri is Apple's tap wrench. They're just refusing to fix it. On principle.
James, the killer's in the other room.
He's behind you. I know.
He did it in the dining room with the Adidas bag.
With the spanner.
With the tap spanner, yeah.
With the tap spanner.
Hey Siri, what's a tap?
Does your guys' clue actually call it that? Is it a spanner?
We call it a spanner. Yeah.
A
spanner.
No, but I mean, sorry. But now I'm curious. In your game of Clue, is that weapon called the spanner or is it called the wrench?
Spanner.
Oh, and it's a spanner, isn't it?
Or lieutenant.
It's a spanner.
Yeah, okay.
It's a spanner. Hey Siri, what's a tap wrench? Says Bob Beach. It's a spanner. Deepman saying, maybe you need a sponsor, hey Siri, a beer sponsor. A maybe we do. We could do that. Cobra, okay. You're listening.
I found this.
That was fun.
Yeah, I've just done a Google search for a Cluedo spanner and it came up. It does look like a wrench, though.
It is.
It's kind of.
We call them a wrench. You guys call them a spanner. It's that's right. One of those things.
Yeah, I keep my spanner in my boot. And you keep it in your trunk.
Right. You got it.
There's a really good infographic how it's changed over the years.
a tap spanner?
He's looking at the clue card.
Oh, mate, I wish we'd have started with how the tap spanner has changed over the years. This would have been such a more interesting episode.
So I have a question.
Not my fault.
If a guy sees a girl in the UK with a voluptuous backside, do they say she has junk in her boot? Because we say junk in the trunk.
We don't say either. We just say she's got a nice ass.
What? That'll get you killed.
Straight to the point.
Nice. I've walked up to girls before and said nice ass in a pub.
You bastard.
I was
for those just
I was a third of the age I am now, but
there was no Apple news this week.
Yeah, no, Jesus, they've worked that out already. We started with the earphone adapter. Of course they know there's no news. Oh man, could we get any more misogynist?
You know one thing that I would...
I'm not participating in that side of the conversation because I'm not going down that road.
No, I will. I don't care.
I'm sure you guys talked about it, but one thing that I'd be totally down for is a USB-C connector in the bottom of my phone, even though I have all of this new lightning gear.
You don't listen to the show.
You weren't here last week.
No, he doesn't listen to... No, I don't mind he wasn't here last week. I mind he doesn't listen to the sodding show, though.
I understand. Dude, you want to come over here and help me sand all these damn walls?
While you're sanding, you should be listening to the show. Have you listened to the one with the speaker comparison?
Oh, you can hear... No, I want to hear that one, though.
You've got to hear that one. You've got to hear that one, mate.
It's brilliant, right?
Sonos Play 1s versus two HomePods versus Play 5 versus 1K monitor speakers.
Okay, that I got to hear. I'm going to buy a Sonos thing. Just comes out next week.
The Beam.
Because the Beam. I have a new cabinet system with a big hole in it that's asking for a new TV.
Deepan says, why would a woman have rubbish in her bottom?
This guy. The clown. That's pretty funny.
So it would be rubbish in the boot.
Rubbish in the boot, yes. There we go. Junk in the trunk. Oh, hang on. Is it on? Jamie, are you saying it's on sale now?
Oh, yeah.
It's listed at £399. I've watched the Verge is take on it, and it's actually, it does fit quite nicely in the speaker bracket because you can still pair them with two Sonos Play 1s, which is quite interesting. It doesn't stack up against the true full bar that you've got already, but great for a second room.
Yeah, it's just for the bedroom.
So you sent us pictures of your bedroom on text.
No, I built those, dude.
No, I believe you built those, dude.
But those are awesome.
Apart from the boat that's in front of the picture that isn't you, who looks like he built them, but. They're beautiful, mate. They're stunning.
That's my partner who helps me, who I have the wood shop with. Yeah, he and I put all of this crap together. It's
beautiful.
Yeah. Stunning, so that's where the stunning. TV puka is what I was showing you, or holes.
Gotcha. Yeah, the puka. We've got a set of wardrobes exactly, well, similar to that. We've got glass fronts, and we've got a puka as well for the TV.
Except yours weren't made by Doc. They came from IKEA.
Really big bevities.
Mine came from IKEA, and Doc didn't make mine, no. You're only acting like this because Batwedge is near you, and yes, probably. And I also don't believe it. So before you write in and say I'm a misogynist prick, I'm not. Well, I might be, but I'm not trying to be. Trash. No, I can't read that.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Nearly. Yeah. Well done, Pete. You nearly had
James,
me,
mate. James is the one that's that word that you just used.
I can't believe Apple's got a keyboard replacement program. We didn't cover this last week.
Oh, this is huge. This is the big news.
I thought I'd finish on a good one. So Apple's got a keyboard replacement program that's out there. If you're having trouble with your keyboard and touch bar, then get your rear end, your junk in your trunk, down to your local PC Village People Place, a.k.a. the Apple Store, and get them to have a look at it. If you've got sticky, unresponsive, or inconsistently functioning keys, and if they're inconsistently functioning, as James suggests, make a video.
Make a video, definitely.
But there's an extension to that as well. There's more stuff coming out about it. Apple has distributed an internal document on Friday with more information about the service program, and it notes that keyboards damaged due to attempted repairs are still eligible for free service under the program. So if it was broken and you tried to fix it and you screwed it up, they'll admit the fact that it was broken to start with, so it can still get fixed. That's good.
That's a big deal, because Apple normally doesn't do that.
Yeah, no. If your MacBook or MacBook Pro has physical top case damage unrelated to the keyboard, it will also remain eligible. Mother of God.
Amazing.
Hell is freezing over. I'm more likely to send back my Tap Spanner than to Apple to do that, mate.
I think what's really good is, you know, even with the 2017 MacBook Pro 15-inch models, you know, that they're still going to be covered, which I think is brilliant. So that means me keeping hold of this MacBook Pro for a little bit longer means I can rest happy that if anything goes wrong, it's going to be fixed. It also says in that as well, if you've paid for a repair, and some people have up to $300 or $600 for a repair, they'll get their money back, which is great news for people who normally don't have the time to argue about costs and just need their Mac back. They've paid that money. So it's good to know that they're actually going to get their money back as well, which is brilliant, brilliant, you know.
Here's one thing that's pretty funny that happened in my weeks of massive screw-ups. My iMac 5K power supply, logic board, Bluetooth chip took crap. Now, the funny thing is, I can turn it on and literally within a matter of me finishing the sentence and it shut back off. Apple's had it for a week. It doesn't turn off. But I tried it in different locations, different plugs, different outlets, two different circuits, like literally a whole different location. I still have the same problem. They can't find the problem. So James, you sent your stupid "I can't fix this problem" crap to me. I'm super pissed.
Wait, so Apple has it and it's working totally fine?
Uh-huh. They've had it for about a week and a half now.
So wow, it was like tech support week. I was going to give kudos to Apple because the other night, Sunday night, I was watching video on my iPad Pro, and it just started randomly going to the Apple logo, like rebooting itself. Mm-hmm. And it kept doing it. It kept doing it. And I thought, well, I'll wake up in the morning and I'll try to do a full restore on it and see if it's a software problem. But of course I woke up in the morning and I'd plug it in and I'd start the restore, or I was trying to actually just do a backup and it just kept rebooting itself. So trip to the Apple Store. I thought it might actually be a battery cause it's 2.5 years old. And so I was with the tech people and they're running and same thing, running through the diagnostics. Battery's totally fine at 95% or something like that. No other issues with it. But one thing I had noticed was when it would reboot, the battery would be at 1% for about 30 to 60 seconds and then suddenly jump back up to whatever the actual percentage was. And luckily, the genius I was working with saw this because she says, "Oh my gosh, we got to plug it in. It's at 1%. Your battery's dying." And I'm like, nope, wait a second. And she kept wanting to plug it in. I'm like, don't plug it in. Wait a second. You'll see. And the minute she saw that, she goes, "Yep, well, the battery's checking out okay, but since it did that, we'll give you a new iPad for just the cost of a battery." So I walked out of there with a new thing. They took care of me. So,
and a full restore hadn't solved the problem or anything. Complete restore.
Couldn't do a full restore because it wouldn't stay powered on long enough to do that.
Yeah. It thought it was saving itself and it didn't need saving.
Right, but of course I got it to the Apple Store, just like Doc was saying, and it was not doing it. I couldn't get it to crash boot there. But luckily, she saw this one little thing, and I had thought about doing the James thing and recording a video of it. But you know, once they can see the problem, they usually take care of it.
Well, which is what James is saying, and it's a fantastic tip: is record the crap that's going on with your device, and then.
Yeah.
The intermittent faults don't need to be worried about being intermittent.
But this is also the same argument that my family uses with me, because they'll have trouble with their stuff and bring it to me and it won't do it. And they accuse me of having some sort of like, Harry Potter wizard ability or something. It's like, it's working now because you touched it.
Device fixing field.
Right, exactly.
That's what my buddy told me. Every time I call him over to ask him to take a look at something I think is weird, then it stops doing it. And he just chalks him up to my senior moments. But I swear, it's just, he has that ability.
You know, there's a simple solution to that. He simply has to stay right next to you the entire time.
Pretty much is, as you know.
I'm trying to think of a word that goes with Apple for an armus at the end of it.
So does nobody here want to pile on the argument with this keyboard thing that here's Apple copying to something that they denied and this was broken the whole time and Apple knew it?
Oh, where's the benefit coming in?
It's a usual thing with Apple.
Yeah, but they never do they? I mean, it's like you're holding it wrong.
Well,
you know.
Also, I think that any company, when they get to a certain size, like the two sides ain't hollering at each other good enough, so... they get miscommunications, or a legal department tells them to leave it there until we see how much trouble we get into. Like, that's hard. Okay. That's hard to understand. Yeah. I think a lot of companies.
Is this Apple's Ford Pinto?
To be fair, sorry.
Is this Apple's Ford Pinto moment? I don't want to. I don't want to belittle the fact that a lot of people died with the Ford Pinto because of an explosive gas tank. But you know, they have denied, and then probably had internal communications that have said, "Don't say a word, otherwise we'll be really struggling." Which is the Ford Pinto. Yeah.
To be fair, I mean, we don't know what the actual percentage of really broken keyboards is. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, I mean, I don't think Apple ever really denied that there might be an issue.
Hasn't there got to be a threshold
to talk about it at all?
At least 3% for a recall, or at least 3% for a... I've got something in my head that says 3%, but... I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm sure well past that.
So
you might have more than one manufacturer too.
The telling bit of information will be when we do finally get a MacBook Pro update. Yeah. Is one of the bullet points shown off in the thing, and we've improved or redesigned
the keyboard
to make it even better. Of course, they're going to spin it as we made it better.
Yeah,
quote unquote. We've improved it.
Well, I mean, they're not going to stand up and say we made it less shit. I mean, it's just...
Right. Well, like, they will never admit that there was a problem with it, just that they've improved their already revolutionary new key design.
Yeah. Right, and they didn't do any speed bumps or increases or, you know, little minor tweaks to it for a long time. And it's probably because they're having this keyboard issue. Because, like, I know a bunch of people were expecting them to at least, you know, say we're going to get a new machine right at WDC or directly after, you know, the back-to-school machine refresh. We'll find out within the next 4 or 5 weeks if there's a back-to-school refresh. And if it's not in there, then you know the problem is probably keyboard.
Yeah.
Hey, so one last thing before we wrap up, because I forgot I was going to ask you guys about this. Because when I got the new iPad Pro, I brought it home, and mine was the very first generation 12.9-inch iPad Pro. I thought that the new like rapid setup, like hold another device next to this device and we'll transfer all your stuff thing, I thought that was only on the newer models, but I guess that is that an iOS 11 feature, and I just didn't realize it.
iOS
'cause it's feature. It's definitely the same model iPad in terms of the model number that's on the imprinted on the back. But I thought that needed the NFC chip, and also this one prompted me to set up Apple Pay on this iPad, and I didn't think I had that on my old one, but maybe I did and just didn't realize it.
I have Apple Pay on this iPad.
Is it an original one?
Yeah, day one, 12 inch.
Okay. Then it must, those must be two iOS 11 features that I just totally missed. All right.
Yeah,
cool.
They were.
This podcast and all the others is brought to you by Telestream and their product Wirecast. We couldn't do the show the way we do it. I mean, we managed and we scraped by on Google Hangouts a little while ago when we had trouble with the OS, but we're totally saved by Telestream when they agreed to sponsor us yet again for another one. They've sponsored us since version 4 and we're now on version 9. They've been a great, great friend to the network. I can't speak highly enough of the team over there. It's a great piece of software. I mean, if you're thinking about doing a live broadcast, Wirecast's an essential. If you're thinking about even recording stuff, you've got recording facilities here like we do so that we can publish again later, and you can live cut the show together, which reduces your editing time and then reduces your record time on separate devices, and it makes a massive difference to us. I don't have the time to sit and edit this together the way it currently is. I get it from live switching. And you've also got the ability to use it for education. You can use it in a church or something like that, do a sports day, any of that kind of stuff, or social media. With the new advent of social media video that's coming along with the Instagram stuff and also a Facebook doing a video thing, James, we were talking about earlier on.
Yeah.
There's bound to be an interface that allows you to output to that format. If you look at Wirecast now, you've got output formats to Hangouts Live, you've got outputs to YouTube, you've got direct outputs to Vimeo. There is an awful lot of things where you can just shove it straight into it because it's got that output settings availability. And also you can send it out to live streaming services that are done with the NGX system, which we do ourselves. Check out Wirecast. It's a great piece of software. And don't forget, Telestream also do the fantastic software that is ScreenFlow, which is brilliant. Mm-hmm. We've got a copy of ScreenFlow, and it's the best money I've spent, I think, probably on screen capture. Very, very powerful, very versatile. Check them out, please, telestream.net. And tweet out, as with all the sponsors, it's really important to us. If you look at the UK2 thing that we just talked about at the start of the show, you know, it's important you use the offer codes because those are the things that make the recognition of the fact that there is return on investment. And it's important that you guys send out a tweet that says, thanks ever so much for supporting us, because that's what shows the return on the investment. And without people supporting us, we don't make any profit. We are a not-for-profit organization. We're listed that way. And that's the way we work out our tax and stuff. We have no operating profit or surplus. So we rely on people donating to the network and giving to the network of things that we need. And that includes you as well. You can sponsor us. You can go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsorship, that's the kind of stuff that really helps us. So, you know, when we need equipment, when we need mics, when we need stuff for the bash, your donations, there we go, are what keep us flowing. So please make sure you support all the sponsors. And
Wait a minute. So you guys are registered nonprofit?
Yeah, we are.
So does that mean my donation that I give through PayPal, I should have been deducting from my taxes and I haven't?
Probably.
Oh.
Yeah, I think, Adam, it's not a US.
Nor a UK entity, so it might not work that way.
So I'm not sure that's going to work.
But it's worth asking my tax person. I'm going to ask this year.
We're not, charity, so there's no gift aid or stuff like that on it. It's just a not-for-profit.
Mm.
We keep the money in the account and just use it for promoting our message, and that's it. Hoya as well, they're a very, very great supporter of the network. Thank you to them. They bought one of the machines to help us with the live wall. And we're waiting on Uniku. We're still waiting on you. Mark, where the hell are you, man? I'm waiting on me Unikus, man. And the thing is, he's got both pairs now. And he had the cheek to send me a picture this week of him stuffing a curry down in Akbar's in Manchester. And when he could have been down here fitting me glasses. What do you like?
Shame.
I'm really looking forward to these. These are me Harry Potters. These are the ones that are coming. I am so looking forward to these. And I've got a nice tungsten pair to do the shows in as well. Oh. and I'll be giving you a review of how good they are as well. And there is a review coming. I've written it. I just haven't got the technical bit put in by Mark at the start about the nanometers and that kind of stuff. But I've been using the Enroute lenses for in my car for the last year, effectively. And it's a full year review of Enroute. And I've got to tell you, they're well worth it. Absolutely. Get yourself a nice cheap pair of glasses and then give the frames to Hoya. Get them to make, or get your Hoya glasses made in it, you'd be far better. But you've got to try the Enroute lenses. They were just a lifesaver in the winter. Absolute lifesaver. Right. Time for your cool thing. Start us off, Mr. Rico.
Yes, thank you. I need to get that in the stream for you. Okay, there's a link. So there's lots of games out there on the market, and there's lots of fighting games available on the market. And a lot of them I've tried, and a lot of them I end up avoiding because there's always some clincher in it, and you think, oh, that's why it's free. And finally, the other day, I downloaded something called Shadow Fight 3. So this is obviously number 3 in the series. I'll be honest with you, I've not played the previous two. I've jumped straight into this, and I tell you what a well-crafted, well, just overly well-done game, and it's cost me nothing so far. It's just incredible. The actual quality of the audio, the quality of the graphics, the gameplay, which is the most important thing about all these games, it's just brilliant. It's not a button-mashing game. It is a game where you can actually, if you don't press any buttons, you automatically block the character. So think of like Tekken, how Tekken used to be. So you're a 3D character in this kind of 3D world, but actually it's done like Street Fighter 2. It's just beautifully done, and I don't think I've played such a well-crafted game in a long time. Yes, there's the usual gems that you can buy, but at no point so far have I had to go in there and actually pay to play, which is obviously one of the drawbacks of a well-made game sometimes, where you have a good soundtrack, good graphics, and good gameplay. Sometimes you can have to pay somebody down the line. I would have happily paid, and I'll be really honest about this, about $6.99 for this game. I would have happily paid that sort of price. And I haven't. And I just keep thinking, where's the catch? Because there doesn't seem to be one. You get free cards every day. So every time you log in, you get free cards and they upgrade, you know, your helmet and your body armor and your weapons. The weapons are massive. You can actually take weapons out of your opponent's hands and you end up bare knuckle fighting. It's just brilliant. I've not got a bad thing to say about it. And it's free, so why not just download it and give it a whirl and let me know what you think. So Shadow Fight 3 on the App Store, and it's iPhone 10 optimized as well. Just haven't got a bad thing to say about this game at all. It is brilliant.
It does the in-app purchases for stacks of gems and all that kind of stuff, though.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and so there's been no reason for me to have those at all. I'm earning everything I need to earn just by playing through. You know, incidentally, I've not hit a wall yet where I'm thinking I need to pay. But again, I think it's a £7 game and they're giving you free. And maybe you may have to pay. But so far, 3 days in, I'm loving it. Absolutely loving it. So give it a bash.
Excellent, mate. Like that. Enjoy. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
Oh, I got something really cool. If you have or have used or plan to use multiple music services, and I think I've talked about the fact that I think it's great that we have services like Apple Music, or if you're more of a Pandora person, or you're a Spotify person, or even if you're a Tidal or some other service, right? We've got YouTube also as a music service, and some of them are free, including like Pandora and Spotify, right? They have free tiers and stuff like that. So you might find that one service for you works better in terms of especially like music recommendations, because a big feature of a lot of these music services is it will learn the kind of music you like, right? And then it'll create these sort of customized playlists for you. So a listener actually told me about this app and I downloaded it. I don't know how much I'll use it, but I did remember I had a Spotify subscription and I had some playlists on there that I did like and I had kind of put together when I was using the service. I tried it out as a paid service, but I'm now on the free tier. And the app is called SongShift. And originally, I think the thing it was designed mainly to do was allow you to move from one service to another. So if you've been a Spotify user and you've built up a bunch of playlists and now you decide, nope, Apple Music is more for me, what it will do is it will automatically transfer all of your Spotify playlists over to Apple Music. Or you can go any way. You can go from Apple Music to Tidal or Apple Music to Pandora, whatever it might be. It takes the music from one service and transfers those playlists seamlessly and pretty much instantly over to that other service. It supports Apple Music, Deezer, Discogs, Last.fm, Napster, Pandora, Spotify, and Tidal right now. And I think also YouTube is not in that list, but it does support YouTube now. And so that's cool enough in and of itself. And they have a free version. It allows you to connect two services and just transfer the playlists back and forth. And you have to do that manually. For $3.99, though, if you pay the upgrade price, you can connect multiple services simultaneously. And not only that, you can set it up so that it's automated. So it will keep those playlists between multiple services in sync. So you can listen to Apple Music and build up your playlists, or and listen to Spotify and build up your playlists there, and have them automatically synced up. So a lot of the playlists in Apple Music are constantly getting updated or changed every week, the recommended ones. Same thing over on Spotify. So if you want to keep all those things in sync, this will let you do it for $4. So you pay the upgrade price and you get some additional features. So the free base tier is just two services you can connect. And I did notice you can disconnect that service. So say you transfer all your playlists from Spotify to Apple Music, you can do that one time on the free version. You can then just disconnect that connection and then reconnect to another service. It just will only let you have two connected at any given moment. So I thought it was brilliant. It's great. So if you're listening to multiple services and you want to sync up all your playlists, this will do that.
Great pick, mate. Love it. Patrice, what have you got for us?
So my pick this week is actually the HomePod, which is surprising, I know. I bought one the other week just because I wanted to give it a try. I mean, I'm moving to the US, so I had to. I sold my Sonos gear and so on. So I was like in the market for either buying another Sonos setup or trying something else. And ultimately, the HomePod convinced me because of, HomeKit and Siri support, because those are the two things that I most care about. Audio quality wasn't the biggest thing for me, so I mean the Sonos ones would have been fine quality wise for me. But as I said, those things and like the integration into the ecosystem convinced me, and I actually bought a second one like 2 days ago. So I have now two HomePods. Wow. I didn't pair them as a stereo setup. One is down here in the kitchen, one is upstairs in the bedroom. The cool thing is you can connect it to your Apple TV, and I have upstairs a really crappy TV with like audio quality that's abysmal, and I just connected the Apple TV to the HomePod and just use that as a soundbar. That works really really well, so I'm very happy with that.
Excellent. I got to say, when we tested it, I did start off by saying you won't be disappointed. It's a lovely speaker.
It definitely is. It's well built. It's actually heavier than I expected.
Yeah, it's really heavy.
Yeah.
There's a lot in there. I mean, you've just seen the stuff I was scrolling past there. They have thought about it. It's not just made up. Good stuff. Doc.
I'm playing Shadow Fighter 3.
Yes, you are. James. Yes, you are playing James. It.
Okay, so I have a really cool pick. This is from a buddy of mine, John Chaffee. He's actually from Kailua, Hawaii. We met at Macworld back when that thing existed. But he is the creator of BusyCal. Well, he's created a new app, and this new app is called WinWorks. So I've tried Doodle. I've tried a couple of other things out there, but one of the biggest pain in the butts is trying to nail down a schedule. So, I'm trying to get together with Jerome to plan something. And, Nani has a kid, he has a busy schedule, I have a busy schedule. All you do is you put in a saying, when works for you, basically, is what it means. So instead of saying, hey, are you guys, free for dinner? When? How about Friday? No, not Friday. How about Saturday? Oh, not Saturday. You just basically put in your available times and you send a little chit. The other person can go to the screen, scroll down a little bit, Ewan. And can go to the screen, and then they can see what your checkboxes are that you have available. See where number two is? That's all of the ones you have available. And if they're agreeable to that, they press one of those and it automatically syncs it to your calendar. Naturally BusyCal, but it does work with other calendars and whatnot. So what it does is completely takes the hassle out of trying to book times. The other thing this is really incredible for, if say you go to like the pro version, which originally is free. The pro version is $5 a month. But if you go to the $5 a month version, what happens is you can put this on your site or whatever. So when someone's trying to book, say, time for you to come and shoot, they can look and see what's available and book their appointments sort of there. It's closer to the bottom of the page. But, you know, you can basically set up your ability for, you know, organizing meetings, organizing groups, leaving your appointments and stuff free. Yeah, it's incredible. It's super incredible. I've been playing with this since it was in beta, and it helps a lot of texting back and forth, especially for those people that can't seem to understand when you tell them that you're available on this time, and they go, well, when are you available? Like, I just told you. So now you have a visual representation, and it's pretty awesome. So it's free. Check it out. If you have a business or whatever, you probably might want to go for the professional version. This would be good for even you, somebody like you, Adam, where your clients are trying to book time with you.
Oh, yeah, WenWorks, yeah.
As you say, it's a buddy of yours.
Yeah, you remember, you met him too, because he's coming back all the time for the BusyCal booth. But it turns out he's from a place called Kailua, Hawaii, which is like right up the road, is where we go to hang out with Emma every weekend. So it's just random that I met him at Macworld. I didn't know that BusyCal was, I had been using BusyCal and didn't know it was from, it was crafted here in Hawaii.
Right, okay. Would he be able to help us out with something for BTN, for the shows, for bookings, that we could send people in and say, check on here what you can do?
I'll hit him up.
I had a chance to use this. Somebody sent me a WenWorks this week to set up a phone call, and it worked brilliantly. So
it's awesome, man.
It looks awesome.
Oh, yeah. So when you're trying to book, you know, like Andy or so many other guests who have other, you know, things to do, not like us, then, yeah, you just send them a WenWorks and then kind of figure out when they can slide in.
That's awesome. Really, really cool.
Pretty cool, right?
Yeah, no question. No question. Really good.
I'll send him an email.
Yeah, send him something. He can just show us. I mean, it sounds like the functionality means it can already be done anyway, but
it would need to like know the concept of spots, because you can basically book like 3-4 people at the same time.
Oh yeah, so no, it does that. So hey, you want to see? You get a URL, right? So if you go to winworks.com/docrock, you'll see my, like, I had set an availability up. So you get a permanent page once your username becomes a slash win.work/ whatever username is, say BTN, then that would be the page that people would go to punch in their things.
Right. Okay. No, yeah. That'd work. I like that. I'm trying to fill time because I can't get my sudden thing to work.
Now you eat late.
I can show you guys how to use Shadow Fighter 3. Damn it, James.
That's a good game, isn't it? Don't you think it's beautifully done?
For the morning motion.
It is. Very well done. I'm trying to show you this and I'm going to be struggling. So just bear with me. My cool thing is the Kane TV Crystal 800.
The okay. What?
The Kame TV, C-A-M-E dash TV Crystal 800. This.
Okay. That's something for watching porno.
Maybe.
It's like Telestream. But
maybe. I haven't quite got there yet, though. But this is an HDMI, full 1080p HDMI quality broadcast system that doesn't need any tethering. So you take one of these devices with a big 9 dB antenna on the top, two of them actually, and you put it onto your transmitter, and then you take the other one and you plug it into your TV, and it will live broadcast your HDMI signal from your camera or from anything else that you're carrying around that you want to use. basically. That's it. And does it work? It works brilliantly. This is my wife upstairs reading on the bed with Bryony pointing the camera at her and me sat downstairs watching it live on the telly. And you can look at the quality of that there. I think you can't really call any fault on it. My boy, Ellis, also managed to take it 40 yards up the street. So it's supposed to work on line of sight, but he took it up the street 40 yards before it crapped out. So it was doing really, really well before that. And the other thing that's really nice is it's got an iOS app and it broadcasts its own network. So you can actually watch it live on your iOS and change your iOS app and change all of the settings while it's broadcasting. It is unbelievable. I bought it because I've got a live event to do in October, a dinner, where there's going to be dancers descending from the ceilings, and they want my wire cam that runs on a wire to go between the dancers as they come down. And I've said, yeah, no problem, I can broadcast. And now I can. There you go. So I didn't lie. That's it. It's up and running. Downside? It's 650 quid, including VAT. But... upside, it actually works. It actually works, and it.
I think
brilliant.
After you buy the two pieces, that's cheaper than Teradek.
Yeah, it's brilliant. The quality is excellent. It's 1080p, and you can watch it on your iPhone as well as long as you're in the wireless network range of it. It's perfect for me because I've got a little Atomos recorder, so I can come out of the base station into the Atomos recorder, and then use the relay out to go to the desk that's going to be at the event. So it means I can record everything on my Atomos rather than trying to record it on the camera. And they'll get a relay of everything without any a clean feed of it. So it works perfectly. It's lovely.
You know why that's cool, Jorn? The Teradek requires either LTE or some kind of like ad hoc wireless networking setup.
No, this thing...
You know, so this is cool because it's just straight, you know, antenna.
Well, yeah, but it actually makes its own wireless network as well. So you can find it on your iPhone as a wireless network and log onto it.
And, yes. And so you can view director's iPad.
Yeah, iPad, iPhone.
Oh my god, my dad's going to love you.
You could plug it into your TV and do a mirroring thing and watch it direct on a TV as well, or Apple TV maybe. I don't know.
Nice. I'm
going to
see right now.
Not cheap though. Where can we get a hold of you, James?
That's nice and easy. You can get me on Twitter. I think lots of you guys prefer to get my Twitter. So it's just at James Rickards. That's RICKARDS.
And
I'll respond there. Thank you.
And in the Slack room as well. And if you want to come into the Slack room, you can just send us a request. Little pig, let me into BritishTentNetwork@gmail.com. And we will let you in. You've got to behave, but you've got to come in. Adam, where are you, mate?
You can find me at MacCast.com. Also, MacCast on your favorite podcast app and MacCast on Twitter.
Excellent. And Patrice?
Well, as always, every week here on The Mac Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. I'm sorry to interrupt, Doc, but where can we get you?
He's loving it. He's loving it.
What? No, I'm actually copying King TV link, dang it. you can find me at the Home Depot. eight times a week, and other than that, on solid.f.
Buying stuff. I've no idea why my nose has decided to start running right this very second, just at the end of the show, but it has. Apologies for the sniffing. I'm Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter, and you can follow the network at British Tech. If anyone knows anyone who'd like to support us with two lightning fast servers, that'd be great. Thanks ever so much. Failing that, we'll see you next week. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to get your ticket to the bash. It's going to be worth it. 10th anniversary. Big cake. Loads of fun.